Are we ready?
Okay. Let's hook up with the Ticketone Jake Kemp. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Is this from your home setup or the Dragon's Den? There's no way you stayed there.
No, they kicked me out of there pretty quickly. I'm actually in a closet, the same closet I did the draft from.
Sounds like it.
It appears.
Is it nap time?
No, it's just the only room in my house that gets a decent sound.
Okay,
so,
really?
That's what we're going with.
Fascinating.
Got a big closet.
By the way, I don't want to fight.
No, I wonder if that's a problem in my house, because I can't get any decent sound in there. Everything sounds like crap. Should I be in a closet?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you had a whole host of problems there, bud. I don't know that just the closet was it for you. I think that was on a list of maybe 10 things.
Yeah, Corby needs an on-site, in-home engineer to execute Zoom.
Did you say you don't want to fight? Right. What will we fight about? Do we have something to fight about?
Apocalypto made a ton of money, and I remember
it
that
did?
Because we have had this discussion before.
Uh-oh.
It made a ton of money. I am sorry to out myself as the guy who remembers these dust-ups and grievances.
Somebody
It did very well.
See, that's weird, because almost every time I tell somebody about Apocalypto, they've never heard of it. But if it did well, then good for Jaguar Paw, or whatever the lead was in Apocalypto, which I think we decided, or let me take responsibility, I decided that Caron Butler reminded me of that character visually, and I think I called him Jaguar Paw as an homage to it. That probably confused him. So, anyway, there's
a cool nickname.
There's more Apocalypto than you were hoping for today. But we're not here about that, are we? We're here for Jake, because Friday on the show, we started talking TV, and we prepared our list for the three most impactful moments in television history, or for us, our history. And it was one of those lists which I even confess, I probably could have come up with 25 of them and interchanged any of them. And I already have second guesses about my own list, but it's kind of fun to, you know, to hear what people might say. And I know Jake takes his TV very seriously.
You know, he's like 15 years younger than me, but I feel like he has such an advantage because, you know, outside of growing up with like TV schlock in the 90s, like 90210 and things like that, like by the time he became an adult, the golden age of television had already started.
Yes, he didn't have to sit through the garbage television era.
No, like he didn't ever have to sit through Hardcastle and McCormick or Cagney and Lacey or
Murder, She Wrote.
And we were like, that's all we had, right?
Yes.
And he gets, Sopranos, this sucks.
So the only thing from my childhood that was probably kind of corny that I left off, because I just didn't want to try to explain it, but in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which was a very lighthearted, fun show, spoiler alert, there's an episode where Will gets shot.
Really?
Is it really?
And Carlton goes and buys a gun because he is seeing his view of Law and Order crumble before him.
This had to have been late in the series, right?
Pretty late, yeah, maybe even the last season. I was maybe in fifth grade, and it was like, wait, what just happened? This is a fun show, and now Will's in a hospital bed.
Oh, no.
It was jarring, but
and
I left
Carlton,
that one off.
Carlton almost took to the streets with a piece to exact revenge?
Yes, yeah. It was his time to step up.
Man, I'm intrigued, at least.
Because my kids started watching that, because I think Will Smith is great, you know?
Yeah.
And
so is Carlton.
We have not caught up to that moment, though.
Okay. Well,
it will rock them.
So what are you thinking? First of all, did you hear our lists, and did you have a major beef with those? And then feel free to present yours.
Yeah, no beef whatsoever, other than I have yet to see 6 Feet Under. And I know that's a major error on my part, but other than that...
Well, the only reason that 6 Feet Under made Danny's list is because we wouldn't let him use Hot Dog the Movie as...
<That's not true. laughs> I heard that, too. Slight confusion over the difference between movie and TV, but
well,
I guess you watch it all on a TV now?
That's what I said. I saw Fast Times at Ridgemont High for the first time on a television.
Yes.
Therefore, it's a TV show.
Danny's list initially just said anything with Shannon Tweed.
a little Skinamax.
Yeah, millennials scratching their heads wondering who Shannon Tweed is.
Hey, are they still married?
Oh, yeah. Gene Simmons? I think so. Or did they ever get married? I'm not sure that they ever did the traditional marriage.
Okay.
I think they're still together.
So I only have one incident of doubling up here, but it was a scene that you guys didn't play the audio for, but it means too much to me to not play it. So we'll get to that. But my first one here is from episode one of season one of True Detective. And I'm just such a sucker for the McConaughey soliloquy,
yeah.
You know, and it might mean that I'm still like a sophomore in college that thinks that anything 10% profound is basically biblical. But the speech that he gave Woody Harrelson in the car in episode one absolutely plays to my, you know, creeping nihilistic sense. And I think about this almost every day.
I think human consciousness is a tragic misstep in evolution. We became too self-aware. Nature created an aspect of nature separate from itself. We are creatures that should not exist by natural law.
That sounds god-f***ing awful.
We are things that labor under the illusion of having a self, this accretion of sensory experience and feeling, programmed with total assurance that we are each somebody, when in fact everybody's nobody.
I wouldn't go around spouting that shit. I was you. People around here don't think that way. I don't think that way.
I think the honorable thing for our species to do is deny our programming. Stop reproducing. Walk hand in hand into extinction. One last midnight, brothers and sisters opting out of a raw deal.
So, what's the point of getting out of bed in the morning?
I tell myself I bear witness. The real answer is that it's obviously my programming. And I lack the constitution for suicide.
God, man!
Okay, first it sounds...
What the hell?
First it sounds like a Lincoln commercial. Like
It does.
It absolutely does.
There's Cyrus right there.
He's rolling his booger.
Right.
And then it kind of sounds like Woody is having a conversation with like an audiobook. Like Matthew doesn't hear him at all. Woody's just...
No. Plowing straight through.
What was this? Okay, but this wasn't when McConaughey had long hair. That was... Like, that was only, like, flashbacks, right? Or flash-forwards? Yeah. Okay, God.
They were going to go investigate a crime at this point, and I wish, I wish I could tell you I don't think about that scene almost every day, but unfortunately, I do, and it's cheapened a bit by the fact that it's a Lincoln commercial. I know.
Well, that's great. The more I think about it, the more I want to revisit that first season of True Detective.
It was... so much fun to watch in real time, and the conversations that we would have on the next day. Like, yeah. Man!
Yeah, it was good.
That
very
McConaughey
good.
Character was insane. It's great.
Okay, so my second one, I could have gone, as you guys said, with a number of things from Game of Thrones, whether it's Battle of the Bastards, whether it was the time that our hero got shivved for the watch by the little kid.
Yeah,
I actually went with my favorite speech from that show, in a show that had a ton of rousing speeches, and this is actually after the Battle of Bastards, and it's whenever they're moving from the north to the south, and they need everybody to get behind the bastard, and lo and behold, this 12-year-old girl gave to me the most rousing speech in a show that was chock full of them.
Your son was butchered at the Red Wedding, Lord Manderly. But you refused the call. You swore allegiance to House Stark, Lord Glover. But in their hour of greatest need, you refused the call. And you, Lord Kerwin, your father was skinned alive by Ramsay Bolton. Still, you refused the call. But House Mormont remembers. The North remembers. We know no king, but the king in the North whose name is Stark. I don't care if he's a bastard. Ned Stark's blood runs through his veins. He's my king, from this day until his last day.
Jon Snow avenged the Red Wedding. He is the White Wolf, the king in the North.
did not fight beside you on the field, and I will regret that until my dying day. A man can only admit when he was wrong and ask forgiveness.
There's nothing to forgive, my lord.
There will be more fights to come. House Glover will stand behind House Stark, as we have for 1,000 years. And I will stand behind Jon Snow. The King in the North! The King in the North!
That's so beautiful.
Did that little girl, whenever they had the Battle of the Dead, wasn't she flying around with a little mini sword and trying her best before she got ripped in half, and like it inspired just, others? And
yeah, I think
just
so.
Insane.
She totally stabbed
insane.
Like the dead giant in the eye, and wasn't there some crazy scene like that? That little bitty girl.
I think so, but.
But you guys have been talking about how in all these shows, like, there's a fake loyalty, right? Like, you're supposed to be loyal, but nobody ever actually means it. Sopranos, S.H.I.E.L.D., etc.
Right.
But John might have been dumb, but he was loyal and could get other people to be loyal to him. And I will tell you, to make this even lamer, in the 3-hour lead-up to my fight against Mike and Duncanville at Fight Night, I sat in my car and watched speeches from movies.
Yes!
Or TV shows, Danny.
This makes me happy.
It does.
And I would sit there. I probably listened to Lady Mormont like 5 times. I'm like, maybe I'm the king in the north.
Beautiful. I love
so
it.
So stupid. And my awesome. My last one here, which you guys have already done, but I have the audio for you because I think to me this is the most emotional I've ever been watching television in my life. I almost cried pulling the audio this morning.
You must have been crying because you forgot to edit this one.
Oh, for real?
We fixed it. Cray did.
We caught it in time.
Uh-oh.
We caught it in time.
So, in the last episode of season 6 of The Shield, they have arranged for Lem to get moved to Mexico. They have a fixer that's going to take him to Mexico and get him out of all of this because he's kind of the angel on Shane's shoulder to Vic's devil. And it's like, let's just get him out of here.
Yeah.
He doesn't want any part of this anymore. We have this deal set up, but Shane determines with some nudging from Vic that he's got to go. And I don't know if you remember how this scene starts. So I left the audio in there and I'll probably cry again when you play it.
No.
Mara's pregnant again. No sh**. Yeah, almost 3 months. I wasn't supposed to say anything to anybody till next week, but,
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, it's another mouth to feed. Mara's gonna be laid up near the end, so I'm gonna have to step it up, you know?
Man, I hope I get to see the little guy. Or girl.
Little girl, huh? Yeah. Yeah, little girl.
Hey, I'm gonna be all right. Shane.
Yeah.
Shane. I'm gonna be all right.
Yeah, it's all about family, right?
Look, what if Vic and Ronnie can't shake the tail?
Yeah, maybe they double back to the barn. I'll go check it out, all right?
Move your car.
Get it out of sight.
Did you get enough to eat today?
No, oh, man.
Pause it real quick.
I brought you...
So the look on Walton Goggins' face as he is obviously very aware of what he's about to do, but mm-hmm. he's talking to Lem about meeting his daughter and how... And then it's like when Lem says daughter, he's like, yeah... Yeah, a little girl, huh? And, like, realizing who he's become and that he might have to raise a little girl dad. And how innocent Lem seems in this, you know?
Yeah.
They didn't call him Lem without a reference. That's obviously to Lemming, that he'll just kind of go wherever you push him. And the way that Walton Goggins is able to express, hey, I know what I'm about to do, it busts me up every time, man. Like, this is one of my favorite scenes of acting ever. Okay.
Some food. Thanks. Thanks, man. My favorite, buddy.
Now there's the grenade.
Shane!
Yeah.
And at this point, Lim is still blinking. He was not dead initially.
I'm so sorry, Mom.
And he's telling him he's sorry for killing him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lim! Lim, I'm sorry! But I had to, right? But you know I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, man. Buddy. Oh, God.
Damn. God, oh, man.
Just chills
so
every
awful.
Time.
It's so horrible.
And he's like, he's flailing around in the background, like slapping himself in the head, yelling, Lim, Lim, I'm so sorry. And Lim's eyes just stop blinking.
As horrible of a human being as Vic Mackey was in that show, there's no doubt the two most just off-the-wall, crazy, emotional scenes for me both involved Walt Goggins' character Shane when he killed his family and killed Lim.
Yeah, and it like normalized Vic, like we talked ourselves into. You know, Vic is fine.
Right.
It's Shane that we have to get a grip on. And, you know, Vic did all sorts of horrible things, but he wasn't Shane. And that's kind of what the show did perfectly.
Shane was always a wing nut.
And emotional, right?
Yeah.
Like he could feel highs and lows that Vic never even seemed to touch on. He would always just kind of like push it to the side. And Shane, yeah, dude. And it's Lim. Like Lim was the one who was, like I said, always kind of tell Shane, like, I don't know, man, this dude seems nuts. And then he just drops the grenade and you can, and when Lim goes, Shane?
Oh, oh God.
Shane?
Yes. Shane?
Is this a hand grenade?
Dang it.
It's like, what's the countdown for?
Yeah.
You know what, though, Jay? They were all cool on the golf course together. Like,
okay,
that didn't even,
I heard
didn't,
about the ringtone for the thousandth time the other day.
It didn't affect him at all. They were all
still
cool.
Alive. Shane's a good dude.
Tough to poke any holes in that list. That's well done, and those all kind of get it going. Man,
yeah.
The King of the North speech is so great, and I think it's the music and just everything.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Love
it. Go check out that episode of Fresh Prince sometime.
Yeah, we will. It's the bonus.
That one and the what was the one with Drake in it where. You guys.
Oh, Degrassi.
It. Degrassi High with Drake.
Whatever Drake has to end up in a wheelchair after a school shooting. Wheelchair Jimmy.
Oh, it's beautiful. Jake, well played, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
See you, buddy.
The great Jake Kemp.
Bye.
Noon to 3. All right, up next. We can get some audio?
Little Martha?
Oh, yes.